Do you have a favorite season? Which is it? I meet people occasionally for whom winter is actually their favorite season. I like winter. I'd prefer to shovel over, where is it, cutting grass. Way more. But some of you are the opposite. You love cutting grass. Seasons matter in Canada. If we didn't have seasons, what in the world would we talk about with strangers? We'd have nothing, right? This morning, we're going to look at a section from the Gospel of Mark. And as I was looking at this section, I thought, what's being described at the beginning of Mark's Gospel are four seasons. And this is my idea, so for what it's worth. And I just looked at this scripture of the story of Jesus from Mark, and I thought, there are four seasons represented. Now, as Debbie mentioned, this is the first Sunday of Lent. And Lent is the time when we put up the cross and we reflect. It's a time of cleansing, a time of reflection as we head towards Easter. It's a good time. It's a good time to clear out the clutter, as it were, and make room for what's essential. I don't think it's coincidental that on the first Sunday of Lent, the balconies closed. We should have prayed for all you people who are forced to sit on the main floor this morning. It can't be easy, is all I'm saying, right? But I looked at this and I thought, there are four seasons represented by what Jesus said. The first one we'll call spring. We'll call it spring. Jesus was baptized by the Spirit, and as he came out of the water, the heavens were opened, and a voice spoke from heaven saying, "This is my Son, my beloved. In you I am well pleased." And the good news is, the story of the Spirit on Jesus on that day in the River Jordan is the story of for us as well. You see, what used to happen is at a bar mitzvah, a coming of age party for a boy or a bat mitzvah for a girl, is the dad would take the son, in this case, on his shoulder, and he'd run around the room with all the guests who were assembled and say, "This is my son, my beloved. In you I'm well, in him I'm well pleased." And you see, the beauty of that is Jesus didn't have, where is Joseph at this point? He seems to be gone. But the Spirit of God is doing that liturgy that the dad did for the child, for Jesus. "This is my son, my beloved. In you I'm well pleased." And the thing is, because this is scripture, the promise of God for Jesus in this story is also true for us. I will invite you to say this. "This is my beloved," and insert your name, all right? In my case, "This is my beloved Jim, in whom I'm well pleased." Invite you to say it with me. This, or my daughter, like whatever your name is. "This is my beloved, in whom I'm well pleased." Once more, just so we start to believe it. "This is my beloved Jim, in whom I'm well pleased." Once more, just because it's Sunday. "This is my beloved Jim, in whom I'm well pleased." Now the question is, do you believe that? Is it true that God, as you arose this morning, truly delights in you? This is a critical first stage of Jesus' ministry. And the spiritual task, we'll say in spring, in this season of new life, is for Jesus to receive the promise of God on his life. Jesus receives the promise of God in his life. And you see, one of the things that's core to scripture is you and I can do nothing to earn the approval of God. All we can do is receive God's approval on our life. In Ephesians 3, it says, "For it's by God's grace you are saved." It's not your own doing. It's the gift of God. And Jesus, on that day, in the waters of baptism, receives the blessing of God on his life. I don't know what you think about Sunday school. You've probably read in the bulletin that we need Sunday school teachers off and on. But one of the things that we do in the season of teaching our kids Sunday school is we want them to have a clearly established identity. as a daughter or a son of God. We want them to know whose they are, and we'll find out in a minute why this stage is so important in our Christian faith. You know, I read a story years ago about a guy who was in the war, and he was in the trenches, and he was dying, and he said to his buddy who was there, he said, if you survive, can you take this message and take it home to my hometown, to this address? And the guy says, yes, of course. And the man died, and he takes this message home, and he knocks on the door and hands it to a man. And what the message said was this, basically this. It said this: while I'm dying, what you taught me in Sunday school has helped me. And the man at the door said, oh my goodness, I quit teaching Sunday school years ago because I didn't think it was making any difference. Now here's what's going on. Jesus is receiving his identity in the season of spring as God's beloved child. And that's going to test him in the second season, which is the season of winter. It's summer there, clearly. It's in the desert, but we'll call it winter because it's a season of barrenness, of testing. And in this time, what happens is Jesus becomes reliant on God. Now, this is really important to understand. In the first moment, Jesus is baptized, and he comes out of the water, and a voice says, this is my son, my beloved, in you I'm well pleased. And immediately, Mark loves this word, immediately, everything happens immediately, the Spirit drives Jesus into the wilderness, but it's not the Spirit who is doing the testing. That's important to understand. God is not making Jesus' life difficult. It's the evil one who is testing Jesus. But here's the thing. Jesus is tested exactly at the level at which he's been formed. He's been told he's the child of God, and the devil says to him, if you are the Son of God. This Mark's gospel doesn't go into the details of the temptation from Luke 4. But Luke 3, if you are the Son of God, yes, I am. I just got told that. Well, if you are, then this is what's important. This is what you need to do. And this is a kind of a spiritual principle in our lives, is that what we receive in the light gets tested in the darkness. You come to church, and you know what? You receive your identity. You know what? I am a loving parent who loves their kids, and you're out in the parking lot, and that gets tested. You receive a new identity as a child of God in some way, as one recipient of grace, that you can't receive God's favor. And you get home, and it's like, life is graceless. We get tested at those very places where we receive this new identity. And Jesus gets tested at these very points. Now, what does Jesus do in these times of testing? The scripture doesn't say that, but what he's relying on at that point is what he has learned in Sunday school. He's relying on what he has learned as a child in church, as it were, in the synagogue. He quotes scripture, and he relies on the resources that he was raised with to deal with the evil that has come at him in the wilderness. He goes, that's the way he deals with it in our lives. It is life critical that we receive the blessing of God and that we know whose we are, so that in the season of winter in our lives, we can return to that and receive strength from it. And my question to you this morning is, do you know whose you are? Because if you don't, I invite you to receive that, so that when winter comes, you may have the strength to withstand what takes place in your life. It's a season of temptation or testing. Those words interplay with each other. They mean it's the same word that comes off in different kinds of ways, right? Jesus goes immediately from spring to winter. I think as Canadians, we understand this stuff instinctually. We understand that. We're like, oh, it's just about spring. Oh, no, guess it's not. And Jesus goes immediately into a season of winter. But he's received the encouragement so he has the strength, not brought about by God, to deal with the situation in his lives. Often the things that we claim in faith are tested in the season of winter. And it's like hard, right? Jesus is not relying on his own authority. He's relying on the power of God that's working through him. I realized as I was looking at these scriptures how closely this sense of identity and testing are intertwined. In Romans 5, it's a text of Paul's I love. Paul says this, "Not only that, but we boast in our sufferings," he says, "knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces hope, endurance produces character, character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us," listen to this, "because the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit." In other words, all of these things that happen can have a formative purpose, Paul says, because first and foremost, the love of God has been poured into our hearts. And so Jesus received the blessing and the love and the promise of God on his life, and it gives him the strength to deal with the winter. I saw this in Isaiah 43 as well. "But now says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, I have redeemed you." Listen to this. Here's the identity formation piece again. "I have called you by name, you are mine." And immediately after that, we see the testing. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. And when you walk through fire, you will not be burned, and the flame will not consume you." But listen to this. "For I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you." And listen to this. "Because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you." Got it? You're going to go through this difficult time, but do you understand? You are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. And this is who you are. And so when you go through this, remember, this is what I am as you go through that. Identity is critical to faith formation, and it's critical that we understand whose we are so that when we go through a season of winter, we're not shaken by the trials that come our way, not brought about by God, that we face in our lives. The third season, we'll call it fall. It's a season of pulling up the old to make way for the new. The task here is repentance. It really literally means to go from this direction to this direction. It means to turn around, all right? It means a change in mind, a change in heart, a change of thought that creates a place for God's newness to break through. It's not a heavy. The point is freedom in our lives. We let go of old attitudes that keep us from loving others and repent and turn around so that God's newness can break through in our hearts and lives and make way for new life and growth and hope and purpose in our lives and hearts. The repentance is the season for us to do that. It's critical in the season of repentance. We're not confessing for our own sake, not to make an angry God happy with us, but so that we might be free to embrace the good news. Which brings us to season number four, summer. It's a time of flourishing. Repent and believe the good news. The kingdom, the reign of God is here. Can you see it? No, I can't. I'm sorry. My life has been such a season of winter right now. I can't see where God is moving or acting. I can't see where God is. Well, go back to the promise. Do you know whose you are? Yes. I know that God loves me. I know that I'm his child. But it's hard. I understand that. When you go through the deep waters, I will be with you, and the flood will not surround you. Do you understand that you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you? God, why is this happening to me? I can't take it any longer. I understand that, my child. Do you understand that you are precious and honored and I love you? I get that, but why is this season so difficult? It's difficult, but I am with you in it, and I will never leave or forsake you. Can you see my presence around you? No, I can't. It feels like everyone's forsaken me, and I'm walking alone, but I'm here with you. Can you feel it? No, I can't. It's okay. I'm here anyway. Jesus, I need a sign of encouragement, something to help me put a step forward. I just don't know what to do. I am here. Do you remember the person that just called you? Yes. I put that on their hearts to encourage you so that you would have the strength for these next hours. Do you understand that? I do. It's hard. Yes, I know. My son was here. He went through it. He's been tempted in every way as you are. I understand. You get to see how this season works in our lives. God, I think you hate me. No, 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 no. I love you with an unending and everlasting love. I'm not here to punish you. I've taken care of your sins. It's okay. And you understand the formation. In a flourishing, we look at the imminence of God's reign, God's rule in our hearts and lives, and we embrace that. Let's pray together. God, through all the seasons, you are there. We thank you that the first task was for Jesus to receive his identity as your child. And that identity wasn't just for Jesus. It's for us. Thank you that we are yours. God, we pray for people here this morning who are in a season of winter. They're in deep reliance. They're fatigued and ready to give up. They don't know what to do. Thank you that you are with them. Lord, would you give them a sign of your presence, of your encouragement, of your light. We thank you for repentance, for all the freedom and the joy that it brings. And we pray for people who need to turn around here. Repent of old attitudes, old biases, old hatreds that only cease to ground their feet in a narrow place and not bring them the joy and the freedom and the purpose that you desire. And we thank you for summer, for all the flourishing, for the good news which is at hand, which came through Jesus and belongs to us. Help us this week to be agents of your good news wherever we go, wherever our feet are planted, so that we people may know that there is a God who loves them, because we live that. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.